B-Pod Studios.
Tim McManus here with the midweek. This is the first week for the Tim McManus midweek report as we look ahead to the game. It's brought to us by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. Tim, we are talking about sort of not really a lack of buzz, but a lack of worry as the Eagles go into this season this week and play the Washington Redskins. What's your feel on this?
Yeah, I think that they're about as well set up as they've ever been, certainly in the time that I've been covering the team. And so that probably speaks to some of it. People know that they have all the talent in the world, and there's not a whole lot of, deep, I guess, pressing concern about this team. And even the injury situation is starting to look a little better here, Mike. I just took a round through the locker room. We actually just got out of the locker room, talking to some of these guys that were iffy, like, Fletcher Cox and Brandon Brooks and even Nigel Bradham, and all of them are giving these indications that they're getting the green light for Sunday against Washington. So doesn't mean the team's perfect or it's all going to go according to plan, but I think the optimism or lack of panic in the city is justified.
There didn't seem to be any worry, Tim, from the coaching staff, especially the head coach. I think these guys were going to be ready for game one, but it does bring up a thought that maybe this is a rusty group of players coming in from injury that are thrown into game competition. What do you think about that?
I think that there could be some merit to that. I mean, of course, Carson Wentz did not play in the preseason, which means that he didn't have any actual live reps with his new weapons that he has at his disposal. I think DeSean Jackson only played like 3 or 4 snaps in the preseason total. And so they've been with one another pretty consistently in a practice setting, but they haven't been in live action. And so it's at least the thought about how long will it take until they are at their full selves. And then defensively, they haven't even enjoyed what the offense has, which is reps together as a unit during the course of the summer because of the different injuries. Guys like Ronald Darby, who's been slowly making his way back, Nigel Bradham, Fletcher Cox, Dirk Barnett has been sidelined in spots. So there's been a few key cogs. Rodney McLeod wasn't always at 100% and working in team drills. So there is going to be a bit of a work in progress, which could, in theory, lead to some rust out of the game.
There's one thing that is I'm paying special attention to, because I didn't think he was going to start coming off an Achilles, and that's Brandon Brooks thrown in to an offensive line starting position on Sunday. Do you believe that will happen, and what's his status right now? What have you seen from him in the preseason where we can believe he can just come in and start and everything's good?
Well, this is really coming up to the wire here. The signs are pointing to the fact that Brooks is going to play in this game. When we were out on the practice field earlier today, we were watching pretty closely to see what they were doing during group installs. And what we saw was Brooks taking, the reps alongside Lane Johnson and then Jason Kelce, with Vitae kind of standing right behind him. Like, where all the other non-starting offensive linemen were off on one side, there was the starting five plus Vitae kind of lingering right behind Brooks, which kind of gives me this impression of, they're getting Vitae ready, making sure that he's taking at least the mental reps just in case they need him, either in spots or if they decide to pull back on Brooks. But Brooks has long said that the goal, and a realistic one from what he's been told, has been week one, and he was given no indications that he wasn't going to be playing in this game. He just started taking team reps last week. So this is kind of all brand new, and they're just going to have to rely on the fact that this offensive line has been together for some time, and Brooks is an established vet, and hope that the Achilles holds up and that there's not too much of an adjustment period with that offensive front.
All right, let's look at the depth chart, because you noticed it, and you tweeted about it. Depth chart has a couple of things that kind of raise your eyebrows a little bit. We were conditioned to believe it was going to be Darby and Jones as the starting corners. The depth chart has Darby and Maddox as the starting corners.
I did find that interesting, because just the day before that unofficial depth chart was released, it was Doug Peterson that was saying it was Jones and Darby that are going to be the first men in. I do think that Darby is going to be on that right side. We saw him operating today without a brace. That's something pretty new. And he looks like he is kind of ramping up to be that starting right corner. And then I think that it's at least safe to say this, that when they're in their nickel packages, it's going to be Darby on the right side, Sidney Jones on the outside on the left, and Maddox in the slot. And then it comes down to what, you know, what Jim Schwartz decides to do in a base package, whether it's Maddox or Jones. You know, I've kind of developed this thought that the best look would be to have Maddox on the outside to start in the base package, just kind of viewing him more as like a solid, reliable, tackler, and like every down guy, and have Jones out there in his natural spot on the outside in the nickel. So it'll be interesting to see how, Schwartz deploys it. You know, but I think for right now, we just kind of go off of what Peterson said as opposed to, the depth chart and see how it unfolds.
And the other depth chart situation, Bradham is listed in the middle. Flanked by, I guess, Gary and
Zach Brown. Yeah. And actually, I just got done talking to Bradham, and that's the way it's going to be, from the what he was saying, that he is going to be the mic. And he does have some experience from that, from when Jordan Hicks went down over the last 2 years. He played some of that. But his thought is that Jim Schwartz feels comfortable with Bradham kind of at the controls. He knows the defense very well from a couple stints with Schwartz. And I think he just wants him, even though the more natural position for Brown is in the middle and the more natural position for Bradham is on the outside, that Schwartz feels more comfortable having that reversed because of Bradham's familiarity with the defense. And so they are kind of playing out of position a little bit, both of those players.
Interesting. And we'll see how that blends.
Yeah, but that is going to be the look, according to Bradham.
All right. There was a. I want to bring this up to you because I don't know if you have any information on whether you dug that it was true or not. Albert Breer had this thread out where he said that that Philly did make an offer on Melvin Gordon, where Jordan Howard would go to the Chargers. The team would swap mid round picks. Chargers would eat salary, but the Chargers said no on that. Do you have any info on that that situation?
You know, I trust that report because it matches up with the way that the Eagles often operate when it comes to good players kind of being out there on the open market. Like, I think that they were in on Clowney at a certain price. I think that they were in on McCoy at a certain price. And I think that it's certainly possible that it was true with Gordon as well. You know, what these guys typically do is put down markers when good players become available, which is oftentimes, like, you know, not going to be accepted. But if somehow, some way, the market sort of comes to them and the other team gets in a situation where they have to unload, that the Eagles at least did their due diligence and put an offer in. So that's, I think that's why you hear the Eagles associated with so many players. Like, if you see any report of, like, trade possibilities, like, the Eagles are in almost every one. And there's a reason for that, because they are in every one to a degree. If there's like this, this equation that makes sense for them, where they're giving up X to get, you know, crazy value, then they're going to at least put it out there. So it matches up to what I think their practice is. So that's why I tend to believe.
All right. Well, this is a question out of left field, but I have to ask it because I haven't heard a lot about this guy during the preseason. Are they satisfied with Jordan Howard? You haven't heard much.
I think that's a good question, Mike, you know, because he was participating in a couple of those preseason games too, you know, where some other of the, you know, the top end backs weren't. And I think that Peterson wanted to take a look at him. You know, I mean, I think obviously, like, with this report, like, they feel like there's an upgrade out there, but I don't think there's anybody that wouldn't look at it and say Melvin Gordon would be an upgrade over Jordan Howard. He's pretty much an elite running back. So I think it's a good question, but at the same time, they have held to Howard being sort of the number one running back for now and not giving Miles Sanders that title yet. And so I really feel like they're going to go into the season, barring some last-minute trade, with Howard as their top running back, with the thought of feeding Sanders more and more. So they're not disenfranchised with him, given that fact. But obviously, you know, they're going to seek upgrades where they can.
All right. The last thing is the body issue. And yeah, you had a tweet out, had a photo of the Eagle offensive lineman that posed in the ESPN magazine body issue. And they had Philip Eagle masks in front of their private area. Was that just a proof, or was that a photo in the magazine?
I think that was in there.
That was in there. Okay, now
that was in.
So they're all in the picture except for the veteran Jason Peters. Now, do you have any info on why he chose not to be included?
Yes, he said that he's 37 years old and he has no time for that.
So it's just a silliness thing. That's silly to me. I'm 37.
Yeah, like maybe if you called him a few years ago, you know, in more peak condition, maybe maybe he would have done it.
All right.
Jimmy Johnson was funny about it. He said, like, that's like asking a bear to do something. You don't ask him. He does what he wants to
do. Right. his reasoning is okay by me. All right, Timmy, the last thing, you don't expect this to be any kind of a challenge on Sunday, do you?
Well, we have talked about the fact that this team hasn't really played as one yet. You know, so if we're expecting rust, it's the first couple weeks that you would probably see it. That said, I think that, you know, the Eagles are the superior team. Especially look for, you know, the defensive line and on the Washington's left offensive front, look for them to kind of get taken advantage of by whether it's, you know, Fletcher Cox or Derek Barnett. It seems like they have a real advantage there. So I think that, even though maybe it'll start out not like gangbusters, I think the Eagles will ultimately show themselves and win pretty comfortably.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.